And every time I'm preaching, I always want you to receive this word and then see the practical side of the word. Because what I praying, you know, my time with the Lord, so, was asking questions. Because I want to receive answers from the Lord. And sometimes I see so many Christians, they have the word, but they sometimes are not put into practice. And I'm doing the same. I'm working on my life too. So we have to receive the word, the Spirit, and put into practice. Because if you learn about love and you don't put into practice, makes no sense. If you learn about faith and if don't put on into practice, it's dead. So everything we learn here, we should put into practice. Obedience. Obey. We learn about obedience. Yeah, we put into practice. So it was a great testimony, David, because, you know, every day we have attacks in our minds. Every day Jesus was walking on this earth and the devil was attacking him. He was tempted. And he didn't sin. Because he said, it's written. He was strong in the word of God. He actually was the word. And he was put into practice. Today, I will keep talking to you a simple message. But you know, when you hear this message, when you hear the scripture I'm going to read to you, just think about that. How can I put this scripture? How can I make this word being alive in my life and through my life? It's simple. Oh, I believe, you know, you're part of Word of Faith Church. Hey, I receive words of faith every Sunday, every time I read, I know the word of faith. So, yeah, put into practice. How can I put that word into practice? Exercising. Remember, I always give that example in my life. When I went to the university, any course that you go, you have to spend hours studying, because studying is very important. But if you just, I have many friends, Patricia as well, I can point you, I can tell you, some students, I said, oh, he's a great student, or she's a great student. But when we moved and start going to the clinic to put into practice and learning the practical side of dentistry, they wasn't really good. They didn't know how to do. And they weren't put into practice all the knowledge they got it. Then we say in our the language of the student's language, we say that they are good on studying only, but not into practice. They're going to be maybe, I don't know, work, maybe teaching someone. But some people don't even have the ability to teach someone. They have so much knowledge. And you come with X-ray. I remember asking people, oh, you have so much knowledge. Oh, can you help me? What do you think about this? I don't know. Oh, should I do the root canal? Should I? I don't know. Oh, can you help me doing this? I'm not finding this. I don't know. So much knowledge, but not put into practice. So when you come to church, when you receive the word, when you're listening to someone preaching the word, ask that question. How can I put that word into practice in my life first and then somebody else's life? We are learning about love. So how can I put love into practice in my life? Because, you know, sometimes people, oh, love is a feeling. It's a good feeling. People sing, it's a feeling. I feel love for that person. Maybe you can, you know, I don't want to make a discussion about that feeling or action. Love is action. No, love is feeling. Maybe it's a feeling in your heart. I feel love for you. I have that feeling in my heart. But, you know, can affect your life. You can keep singing beautiful songs. Oh, I love Patricia. Oh, I feel love for her. And dancing. And ooh, but it will never affect her life. That's why God, love is, we need to demonstrate love. Yeah. by action. You can say, I can say, I love you, I love you, I love you for all my life. And don't do anything to her. So, when you talk about love, we have to put some action on it. We have to do something for someone. We have. Because if you don't do it, we won't affect anybody's life. Anybody. We see pastors talking about love, preaching about love, and when say, Mary asks something, I don't care. So, wow. Oh, I need prayer. I need this. You have no faith. Your problem is you and God. So then you, Pastor, what's the love of God in you? This is what you're going to think. Shut up. I don't want to talk to you. Where's the love of God? Because of my actions. So if we say, I love, I have the love of God in us. And we learned last week, we know actually, the love of God is in us. In us. That brings responsibility. So I have the love of God in us, and I have to manifest, and I have to show someone that love. This is the way they will know that I belong to Jesus. Because if we speak the way the world speaks, if you act or do something like they do, if we think like they think, if we speak the way they speak, we won't be different. We won't be different. We are different. We are different. We are children of God. We have the love of God, the unconditional love, the love that only God can give to us, only for the children of God. So we are different. We need to put into practice. Give the other face, the other side of your face. It's not saying, some people say, oh, okay, so somebody come and hit me this side, I have to give the other side. No, if somebody treats you really bad and somebody hates you, this is this side. He's hitting you. But you change the circumstance and say, instead of you hitting that person, you love that person. You do something different. We are different. If you want, if you don't want, we are all the same. We are all, that's discrimination. That's not. We love everybody, but we are different. I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. Somebody, that guy, maybe he doesn't have. So we are different. Different nature. Their nature, they love when you love them. They treat you very well if you treat them very well. Okay, if you do something for me, then I'll do something for you. But now, in our nature, because we have the love of God in us, we don't expect for anybody to do anything for us. We do first. I was meditating about love. So, we're going to talk a little bit about forgiveness. Because it's a little bit. Every point I'm talking about here, so it should be one message or one seminar. If you take Bryce's books, we can take a whole month teaching about love, about confession, about compassion. But when we love someone, we have to forgive the person. We have the love. We are different. And we take the action because God took the action first. Oh, I don't have to love everybody because they don't love me. No, it's not for us anymore, church. We have to love everyone, everybody. The same kind of God's love. Amen? So today, when you receive this word, hear the word. See, how can I put this word into practice in my life? I want to go deeper. Teaching, like meditating. Say, go deeper. At your place. After church. It's just like 40 minutes. We need to go deeper. We need to study the word. But this morning and every morning, I think since I took over, this is the kind of message I preach here. So how can I put it into practice in my life? That's the way you're going to make you a better person. Because if you are Christians, full of knowledge, wisdom, faith, and we are not put into practice, we are not. That's why faith hope, and love, you should choose love and put into practice. Amen? Okay. Just to remind you, just to remind you, last week I shared like how Jesus was expressing, showing his love, putting into practice the love of God that was in him. There's so you can, if you read the gospel, you can find thousands ways. I just choose some that he put in my heart to share with you. Jesus Christ expressing God's love. And I said, first, I said, given. Because it was the first thing God did for us. He gave his only begotten son to die for us. And that's awesome. He gave to us. So, should I give my life? You know, talking about couples, husband, you should love your wife the way Jesus loved the church. We have to give our lives to our wives. Wow, that's wonderful. But for the others, we have to love. To love the way Jesus Christ loved. The way God... So giving was the first one. And also only giving, you know... I'm not. You can give money. You can give an offering. You can give your... You can give, sow seeds. That's wonderful. But I'm talking about giving your prayer, your time, your love, your encouragement. It's so nice. It's so nice. Spend time with someone. Having a coffee with someone. That's so important. God gave his best. So if you want to make difference in this world, if we want them to know us as children of God, so there's something different in you. Yes, I'm children of God. I'm child of God. And then, so, why? Why you're saying that? Because there's something. It's love of the love of God in us. So when you do something for someone, we give our best. Amen? The second one was compassion, with concern for the suffering of others. I was listening to someone this week and I like that definition. So when you put yourself in someone's position. Because if people are dying, like was mentioning last week, compassion is somebody, people are dying without Jesus Christ. People are suffering without Jesus Christ. None of them, they don't have that privilege. Like David was sharing, the devil was attacking his mind, this and this, financially, this and that. They don't have the privilege of coming and praising the Lord and standing before the Lord and just putting your heart before it. They don't have. They are suffering. So compassion, have you ever tried to stand in someone else's position? When we fight, when you have arguing with someone or we see someone, we start talking about that person. Try to be in that position. Not of course, you don't want to be in the position of sin. And you understand. People suffering. When someone dies and you say, he deserved. You know, he's a bad person. Put in his mom's position. There's someone suffering. There's someone praying for that person. Oh, no, I don't. That's why when you see the heart of the heart of evangelist is full of compassion. Because if they don't have compassion, they don't care about people dying without Jesus Christ. They want to see, no, I don't want to see that person dying without Jesus Christ. They go, they give their best, they minister the word, they show the love of God, they do everything. Compassion is the second one. We'll show the love of God to the others. So as Church of Christ, we need to walk under compassion. Jesus Christ had compassion of the crowds. I like this, because they were weary and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. There's so many people outside, weary and helpless. They are lost. They are lost. If the heart of the church is cold, without compassion, and you just feel like, you know, I'm doing my part, I'm growing here, I'm prospering here, I'm okay. Come on, this is not what the Lord is expecting from us. He wants us to love them the way he loved us first. Because if he didn't love us first, we didn't deserve. If you think those people don't deserve, we didn't deserve at all. But he died for us. So we should die for them. Or give time or prayer for them. The third one was carrying of the weight. Like helping someone, helping our neighbor. There's no way to express the love of God without helping someone. Without supporting someone, without supporting the kingdom of God, supporting the even those that are not believers. This is the way we show the love of God. If you say, I'm going to help Mary because she's a believer, but I'm not going to help someone because he's not a believer. No, you're going to help and help people. The people, the Holy Spirit put in your heart to help. That's the right person. I believe that's the right person. That's why sometimes we have pastors helping one people like every day. And then when he's done that situation, he goes another one. And the same with me. I had people, friends, pastors, relatives helping me so much that season in my life. And then now they are not helping anymore. But it was for that season. When the Holy Spirit puts someone in your heart, give your best. Build that compassion for that person and try to help to release the weight, the pressure over their lives. Because you have something really special and you are able to help because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And I finish with that. Today, see, sometimes people want me to finish 11:30, but I will start 11:30. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Today, I want to 4 or 5. I'll see. But I will start. I won't take too long. The times, the Holy Spirit that will determine the time. He wants to minister to your heart. And the first thing I want to add today is to, when we demonstrate the love of God, we speak the truth. We speak the truth. Doesn't matter what's the consequence after that. We speak in love. We speak with wisdom. We speak at the right time. Okay? We are quick to listen, to hear, and slow to speak. So you have to be slow to speak. Sometimes it's better to listening, meditate, listen more, meditate, spend a little bit of time, and then you know what to do because the Holy Spirit will lead you. But we have to speak the truth. There's no reason to speak any word that's not the truth. Because the word says that. And the greatest example I have, and I've learned with this, is John 6. When Jesus Christ is giving his tough speech for his disciples. And he was talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. They didn't understand. They didn't got the message. But it was a really strong message. And I think it is a strong message. Because Jesus Christ, he wants you committed 100% with him. You feed yourself from him. All you need, forgiveness of your sins, all you need, healing, everything you need is in him. His flesh, his blood. His flesh and his blood. He was teaching about that. So I want you for me. I want you 100% committed with me. So John 6:60 says, "Oh, hearing Jesus Christ, many of his disciples said, 'This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?'" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you?" From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. For me, this is the best example. I'm learning. This is something hard to me. I'm not saying, "Oh, Pastor, it's hard to you, so you lie." No. I'm not talking about lying to anybody. But sometimes it's hard to come and tell exactly what you have to say. Sometimes I go too much around that situation, waiting for the right time. I'm learning. When the Lord says it's now, it's now. Okay? So we have to know. We have to be led by the Spirit. In every circumstance, to show the love of God, you have to be led by the Spirit. When I'm preaching here, let's establish that. When I'm preaching here, you have to understand everything I'm saying to you. We have to walk in love. We have to forgive. We have to do this. There's, you know, you have to follow the Scripture and be led by the Holy Spirit. If someone is just yelling at you and then saying, you cannot do anything. So you pray until calm down, and then you come at the right time and share what the Lord's put in your heart to share. And when you have to speak to someone, speaking love. This is the way, because we're talking about love. But one thing is 100%, I'm 100% sure, we have to tell the truth. What's the truth? Jesus Christ doesn't matter if that truth is going to hurt someone. Because sometimes hurts people. Jesus Christ was telling them the truth and said, who can accept this? This is too hard. Hard teaching. I've heard many times. I remember just once in this church, not here, but before. Someone said, this is a hard teaching. I don't really agree. It's too tough. And they left the church. I don't agree with this teaching on giving, prosperity. I don't agree. That's too tough. Because they wasn't in the same level of faith, the same understanding, but because it was too tough. But who was teaching or who was preaching didn't change the message. Because we have to teach and preach the truth. This is the truth. Not because I think it's the truth, because the Word of God is saying it's the truth. Then when you teach, when you say something, and people, oh, you hurt me, Pastor. Oh, yes, we have one more. I was helping, again, financially, problems, and I was helping and trying to support the person. Hey, if you want me to help with your budget, and say, okay, this is another example in my ministry as a pastor. Okay, so let me see. Wow. Oh, okay. That's why you have less money than you spend. Your budget is upside down. What you can do? Stop eating? Go and live on streets? Oh, stop taking hot showers? Oh, no, I said, the only thing I see, you could sell your car. Then you don't pay for the car, you don't pay for the insurance, you don't pay for the gas. You add in your budget the bus fare. And in 6 months, you paid for your new cell phone, you paid for your debt on your credit card. And in 6 more months, you have something that you can already expand with a old car. Or maybe you can keep using the bus and save more money to have a better car. Simple. As a pastor, he said, oh yes, I give you the authorization. And I said, easy. The only problem is instead of driving a nice car, he's supposed to drive, to have a private driver. Beautiful. You just go there, drive me to Surrey Central. And you go. And you can read the Bible, you can pray, you can do whatever you want. It's not that bad. It's not. Yeah. If you think that way, you know. I have, like in Brazil we say, I'm a prosper guy. I have a Mercedes Benz. Wow. Yes, number 64. Number 502 is the bus. But it's good. This person never came back to church. I know he didn't receive. Right away, I knew he didn't receive. But how can I look? It's too far away. My job is too far away. It's going to take more than 1 hour to get there. So I just told him what's the truth. He got a little bit hurt because he thought about, I'm going to lose my car. I'm going to go back. Sometimes we have to move back a little bit in this situation and say, okay, next year I'm going to buy my new car. Instead of getting a bad testimony, telling everybody, oh, I have issues in my financial life. I have this, I have that. Just, but you, yes, I, hey, the Bible says, I know. Oh, the Bible says, ah, I know. You know, Pastor, I know more than you. I know in Matthew, I know in John, I know in Joe, I know in, so, but not put into practice. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Most of the disciples just run away. Maybe like churches are not growing the way it's supposed to grow because pastors are telling the truth. But this, if Jesus Christ did that, I'll keep doing that. Amen. I don't want to please you, church. I want, of course I want to please you, but I want to please God first. If the Holy Spirit asks us to pray before, so to keep praying. See, Holy Spirit asked me to preach about love again and again and again. See, Holy Spirit is asking me to preach and ask you to, okay, put into practice. This is the way I'm going to preach. Because it, before I please you, I want to please the Lord. And teaching you and helping you to grow and practicing His word is going to make Him happy, myself, yourself, everybody happy. Because if you love, if tomorrow you are loving the others better than you are loving today, I'm happy. And I believe God is happy too. Amen? So the fourth is speaking the truth. Speaking the truth. Amen? And I, number five, if I put the last week together, number five is do not judge and do not condemn anybody. No? This is what the word says. It's not our position. If you love with the God's kind of love, if you want to know Him better to become more like Him, you have to know. You must know, or you should know. I don't know what's more like powerful. But you need to know that's not our position. No, we just we help people, we support people, we pray for people, we speak the truth. We do whatever the Holy Spirit is asking us to do, but He's not asking us to judge anybody. Let the Word do that. You know why some people don't want to walk with you anymore? And you feel like so hurt. Oh, I'm so hurt. He doesn't love me anymore. She doesn't love me anymore. Because you, what you have in you is judging that person, not you. The Word of God. I used to walk with friends like they used to go and hang out and drinking and having fun and getting drunk. And so I gave my life to Jesus and I want to walk with you guys. I was not, if I go, I won't do this because this is not what I believe. And they don't want to walk with me anymore. Because if you do what God is asking you to do, if you love the way He asks you to love, if your behavior is like Jesus Christ's behavior, it's some way is judging, they are judging themselves because they know what's right. You think people using drugs outside, the next day they wake up and say, whoa, I had a great night, it was really beautiful, this is what I really want to do. Get drunk and use drugs and lose my money, my marriage, my health, my everything. Woo, I'm so happy. No, they are sad. They regret. They don't want that kind of life. I talked with hundreds and hundreds of people on the street. They don't want to keep. Sometimes they are not ready to go. That's why they need support. They need us moving in compassion, in love, and telling them the truth. But they are not happy. They are not happy. So they know what's right to do. That's why we don't need to judge them. We don't need to come, you know, I'm sorry, you go to hell. So many churches I know, they preach condemnation. And Jesus Christ, somebody, I'm not going to read all the story. But if you go to, if you read John chapter 8, verse 7 to 11, even before, verse 8, when the guys, the religious people brought that lady caught in adultery, they brought her Jesus Christ could say, you know, I can judge you. I'm Jesus Christ, the Son of God. No, he didn't. I won't judge you. And when he says that, no, nobody, he, you know the story. The guys was trying to catch him. And then he said, he just, how to say that? Dropped? And was like doing something on the ground. And he was thinking, he was waiting for the Holy Spirit. I believe that. He was waiting for the Holy Spirit. The guys wants to catch me. Waiting for the Holy Spirit. And say, no, if you have no sin, if you have no problem, if you are perfect, just do it. Start stone her. But he didn't say that. He said, Jesus straightened up and asked her, women, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you. He didn't judge her. He didn't condemn her. But said, neither I, just declared, go now and live your life of sin. When he says, I'm not judging, I'm not condemning you. Because Jesus Christ said he didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us. He didn't come just to be, so we are not here to condemn, to judge and condemn anybody. We will show the love of God for them because we are not going to do that, those kind of things. Because it's not our position. Let the word do, let the God does. Because if you want to judge someone, it's like taking God off his place. Okay, excuse me, God. Now this throne is mine. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to judge people. It's not our position to judge. And he didn't judge and condemn that lady. But not her, because he came to save her, sinner. But when he keeps saying, no, go now and live your life of sin. He didn't condemn her. He was saving her at that time, that point. But he was condemning and he was asking her to live that life. This is what I was sharing with you last week. When I say, hey, maybe you don't agree with adultery or prostitutes or no, those kind of thing. But we don't judge and then and even condemn them. We love them. I don't agree with people doing wrong things. But I love them and I tell the truth for them. And if I have opportunity, I say, okay, don't do it anymore. Don't do it anymore. This is what Jesus said. You know, no, I don't want to condemn you. I don't want you going to hell. Live that way. So go and do what's right now. Somebody asked me a few weeks ago. So, you know, sometimes I feel uncomfortable because I'm son of God. I'm still smoking. And the church I was going before, actually is a church, but I don't believe it's a Christian church. He said, you know, I've heard so many condemnation because of that. So I'm asking you, Pastor. No, I don't know if I should come because sometimes I smoke and say, I'm not going to judge you. Don't put condemnation into your life. Don't bring condemnation to your life. I won't be the one bringing condemnation to your life. I want you to be saved. I want you to be free of that. What I want to say is the truth, what the word says. I want to teach you. I want you to get that message in your spirit and start fighting against that. I want you to come to me and say, Pastor, I'm not going to smoke anymore because, you know, I don't need that. I don't need it. That's killing me. And Jesus Christ died to give me life. So how can I use that? That's not a good example, not a good testimony. That shows that my flesh is stronger than the spirit. So we need to reverse that. And I want to see him coming and doing it. I'm not in agreement with smoking at all, church. 100%. Just to you to understand. But I won't bring condemnation. I'm going to say, you know, sorry, we are holy here. So you stay there. Outside. No, come the way you are. Come on, Jesus was friend of sinners. He treat this lady, this woman, the way we didn't think about treating her. What about the guy? Some people, Christians, are condemning the prostitutes. You are destroying marriages. You are destroying families. What about the guy? He is destroying his family when he looks, go and try to find someone else. So always that. So we don't judge. Just tell the truth. Love people. Doesn't matter the circumstance. Doesn't matter what they are doing. If God put in your heart compassion into your heart and say, this is the timing that I prepare for you to go in ministry, just go and do it. Because this is the expression of God's love. Simple. Put into practice. Put into practice. We have, no, no, Pastor, of course, we are Christians. We have in our churches, the Church of Christ, let's put it like that. We have in the Church of Christ, we have brothers and sisters not talking with one another. Because I don't like you wearing black. I don't like black is not God's color. So I don't like Mary because of that. So come on, I'm judging her. You know, you are here close to me, so you are my example. See, Alex is free today. But you know, judging, condemning. So I don't like this person. Because she's na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Sometimes we don't know the person. We don't know the heart. People journey because of the outside. And God sees the heart and said, that woman is suffering. She doesn't want to be a prostitute. She doesn't want to do what she's doing. But the life brought her in that position. The devil brought her in that position. So why they need the children of God to go there and finishing her? No, they need us to save. Jesus said, I'm not condemning you. I'm saving you. Now go and don't do it anymore. That's an important thing to put into practice. Because, you know, sometimes we tell people something, he's doing that, so done. No, it's not done. If the Lord is asking you to do something else, do something else. Give a second chance, third chance, fourth chance. Maybe you are tired and God says, oh, now it's Patricia. Oh, now it's Alex. Now it's Rosa. Now it's... So, but God never gives up. He's a God of love. Oh, but the people of God, people of Israel, he said, it's done. Kill everybody. But I'm talking about God of the new covenant. He won't give up on you. Amen? So this is the way we love people. We don't give up. Maybe you're not calling anymore. Maybe you are not. But if God is telling you to keep doing something, even if it's just staying home and praying for that person, do it. If the Lord says, done. Now I will bring laborers to work in this field with this person. Then you go and do it. That's why we have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Okay, even to demonstrate the love of God to the others. That's very important. So, one more thing. Value people. Give people value. People are so precious to the Lord. People are so precious to the Lord. One of the most strong message I've got from the Bible is when Bartimaeus, he was the blind guy on the roadside begging for money, and he said, oh, Jesus is passing here. Where is Jesus? Jesus, 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 Son of David, has mercy on me. That's a powerful message, because the people, probably the disciples, the religious, the sin, everybody was like walking around Jesus. I said, hey, shut up, quiet, quiet. He's Jesus, the Son of God. And that guy, so see how it works sometimes? God wants to love the person. God says, this guy on drugs, on the street, without hope, without anything, he's one of the greatest preachers I ever created. Can you imagine that? And we are saying, he doesn't deserve. No, and Jesus is saying, no, give value to him. Spend time, show your love, the love of God for him. preach to him, bring him back to me, because I've created him to be a great evangelist. So now you, for whole life, you got 3 people saved. He's gonna got 3 million people saved, and you're kicking him and saying, "Oh, you poor guy, begging for money." So this is what the guys were saying. Quiet. You don't deserve. Poor, blind. And then he felt like, my chance. And when I say give value to people, it's when he asked again, what happened? Jesus stopped. And he ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came to near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? This is so powerful, church. This is what makes difference in this world. This is the way that you're going to know us as children of God. It's not about you dancing. I know people that dancing, running, and doing things that say, wow, I want to be so spiritual like that person. And then after 6 months, I saw that person like going down. And where is the love of God, or doing things? I have an example in my life that I was sharing the evangelism I was doing on streets with the great team. And the pastor came to say, no, wasting of your time. They don't deserve, they don't change. I'll never forget that. I pray that pastor changed his life, his way of thinking. But give value to people. That's the way we show love for them. That's the way, because nobody, I don't know, here in Brazil, sometimes the guys, they go on streets throwing eggs and throwing tomatoes on prostitutes, on transvestites. They do that because they have no value. Prostitute? Drug addiction? Guys on streets? Poor guys, and say what they can add to the society, what they can add. I don't care about the society. They were created by God. When I was doing evangelism on streets, I found fathers, I found great workers, I found pastors, musicians. One day the guy was saying, you know, all you guys do, I did before. I was a pastor leading a group like this. And I said, God has mercy on you, but I'm pastor leading a group like this, and I won't be in your position never, ever in my life. The other guy, I was playing songs like this. I was leading people. I was so great. The church, hundreds of people raising their hands, and I was leading them. And I was. And now I'm here. Because I think he thought it was him instead of the Holy Spirit through him. But we have musicians. We have preachers. We have teachers. We have great people on streets. So when Jesus Christ teaches me in this scripture, he said, no, he stopped. Because of one. I have maybe 65 people. I don't know, 60 people here. Can you imagine? I'm sorry, guys. I have something to do. And leave you and say, because I saw someone like running, walking outside drunk. You think that's weird? That's strange. Pastor just left us because of him? Because this is what Jesus did. All of you walking around me and, oh, Jesus, I love you, Jesus, I love you, Jesus. Then somebody in need and you're supposed to show the love of God for that person, they just said, quiet. And Jesus said, no. I'm going to do something. I'm going to give value to that person. Yes, the guy with demons, legions of demons. Jesus crossed the lake to get there and save that life. Everyone is important to the Lord. This is the way we show and we manifest the love of God. It's not jumping in the church. It's good. It's beautiful. I love when I fall in the Spirit. I love the presence of God, His glory. I love that. But I love to manifest the love of God to someone. And he stopped because he gave value to that man. So if you want to manifest the love of God to someone, you should give value to people. Amen? Give value to people. See what is good. Thank you, Lord. Let's start seeing what is good instead of what is not good. You know, because most of the time people are complaining about something. YouTube again. Is this yours? Yeah. Did you see? Mary using red. I don't, red is not, it's not really nice color for her. I don't like that. You know, why we are talking about the color if you have so many good things to talk about Mary? Why we're talking and judging people about things that they are using, saying, or if they don't do, if they do, you know? We have Sylvia, like, most of the time cooking for us to have a great time here after fellowship. And people, if you complain about the food, I just complain when it's too spicy. But, you know, I, at least that. So you can do that when it's too spicy. But, you know, you cooked. Last night I was sleeping and you were cooking something to bring to church to show the love of God. So we have fellowship, we can share. So Miriam, you don't have to cook at your place. You have food. Hey, you guys, you can eat something. And you go there and say, I don't like fish. I don't like spicy food. I don't like Brazilian food. I don't like this. I don't like... So, you know, it's a... I don't like fellowship in this church. Come on, let's see the good side of the situation. Give value to her. Go there sometime. I don't have a problem if you leave the room for a few. Hey, you need something here. Yesterday I saw the girls working here for the bride showers. Beautiful, everybody working as a team. It's beautiful. Giving value to the other. Not judging, not condemning anybody. Just loving one another. Loving, not complaining, loving one another. Because the way we judge will be judged. It's not good. And Philippians talks about you give someone else more value than to ourselves. Amen. The last one. Can I do the last one? Or next? Can I go for 10 more minutes? Amen. Amen. Because... 12. I'll turn the key of the Holy Spirit. I need to talk about this because I'm just doing right now what the word says. Forgive them. Forgiveness is an expression of God's love. I'm forgiving Alex and Manuela right now as an expression of love. So, this is so important. Forgiveness is a seminar about forgiveness. We know that. But I just want to remind you in 10 minutes, what Jesus said in Luke 23:34 says, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes, and they are not doing, knowing what they are doing. Jesus Christ was suffering. Jesus Christ went to the cross for us when we didn't deserve. The Bible says that we didn't deserve. We're sinners. And God gave, so expression of love. He has mercy on us, compassion on us. He spoke the right word. He changed. He said, oh, you know, it's too heavy on you, so give to me. I'll release you from that heavy stuff. So he was showing his love all the time and put into practicing, loving people, loving the sinners. He was doing that. And when he was suffering so much on the cross, instead of saying, come on, I did everything for them. I did everything. I did my best. God, you did your best. I did my best. And they didn't learn. So send them to hell because, you know, send fire. No, he said the opposite. He said, forgive them. They don't know what they do. They don't know what they are doing. They don't know what they are doing. Sometimes people tell, they say something for you, but they don't really want to say that. They don't know what they are doing. Or if they know, you just forgive. Jesus Christ shows so much love for us. So much love, even in suffering. Because when you start suffering with something, someone comes and wants to step on you. It's easier. When somebody's weak, yes, some problems, and the devil comes to put down more and more pressure on you. We don't need anybody else to do that for us. The devil is his work doing that. What we need is people loving us, building us up, This is what we need. And forgiveness is important. Jesus was in that condition. The devil was, I'm the winner. Woo-hoo. And he wasn't, because Jesus knew what was happening. And he loved so much. And he gave his life for us. But before he gives his life for us and says, okay, don't do it. Lord, they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. So forgiveness, it's not only when, I will forgive you. No, you forgive me. You have to come and ask for forgiveness. Conditional. Most of the time, when I'm counseling someone about unforgiveness, and I said, but I didn't do anything. So my wife has to come and ask for forgiveness. I won't say my parents because they're coming soon. Oh, they don't understand English, okay? So, but my parents, mom, come on. No, the environment, the atmosphere is not good, heavy, because I know you guys. He said something I didn't like. He has to come and ask for forgiveness. Dad, what did he do? So talk to mom, because, you know, we come home. We want this great atmosphere. So, no, your mom is so rude. If she asks me for forgiveness, I'll think I'll forgive her. So it was like playing with that. And Jesus said, no, he wasn't expecting for us to go and ask for forgiveness. He forgave us. God didn't ask us to forgive because, oh, Lord, forgive me. No, he sent Jesus Christ to forgive us first. He didn't wait for us. So forgiveness, you don't have to wait for someone to ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness, because you have the love of God. You'll say, you did something I didn't like. I was hurt with that, and I was actually expecting for you to come and ask for forgiveness, but maybe that person don't know. I probably hurt you. I don't know if you don't tell me. You have to tell me. And waiting for that. Husbands and wives is like that. Friends are like that. So you don't have to wait for someone to come and ask for, so, hey, what's going on? Then we forgive. This is so wonderful because we are Word of Faith Church. And everybody here, most of us know about Mark 11. We have power. Mountain, just throw yourself. Get out of my way. It's beautiful. We trust. We believe. We pray. We declare. We know that. But when you go Mark 11, 20-25, says, and, because therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. So the mountain, woo, free of problem. Good. I believe that. I believe in the power of prayer. And, it's not and, E-N-D, done, the end. No, it's and, A-N-D, so something is going to happen, added. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. So he's not saying, if you have something against anyone, stop praying and waiting for that person to come and ask for forgiveness. No, it's not my translation. It said, you go. If you have something, that person hurt me, I don't talk to her anymore, I don't talk to him anymore, I don't talk to my husband anymore, and then you go, okay, I hate this situation, I hate what he did, I hate that, it's okay, done. Oh, Lord, I love you, Lord, mountains, get out of my way, I am a man of faith, I'm a man of faith. And the Bible is saying, no, stop praying. Ask for forgiveness first, then you come back. You know why? Because you have so many things to be forgiven. If you forgive someone, God said he's going to forgive you. There's so many things we do. Even if we don't know, we are doing it's not right. We need forgiveness. We need forgiveness every day. You thought bad about me right now, so the time's... So you need forgiveness now. I cannot look. I'm looking outside now. So if I look someone, you talk to me. No, we need to forgive. And then the Lord said, before you pray... How can we pray if you don't forgive someone? How can we express the love of God if you don't forgive somebody? Oh, but it's their fault. Like, it was my fault and God forgave me. That's wonderful. It's their fault, and the Lord is asking me, you stop praying and you go and ask for forgiveness, and then you come back and pray. He will receive. Colossians, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Love as the Lord loved you. Isaiah says, I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. I'll probably finish with this one. When we forgive, we should forget what happened in the past. What I've learned, that's why I love the practical word. That's why I love the practical word, because I've learned like that, and that changed my life. Came by faith, and I put into practice, and it's changing my life every day. So when we forget someone, so I forget what you said. So 2 days later, when something happened, you say, but remember yesterday? No, God doesn't remember. This is the way God forgives. This is the way He forgives. He doesn't remember why we are trying to remember someone else. If He doesn't remember, this is the way we should do. When the prodigal son was away and he regretted, he spent all the money the wide way, and he said, no, Lord, Father, I'm not really worthy to be called your son. And so before he asked for forgiveness, he ran to him and hugged him and kissed him and said, no, Lord, Father, you don't understand. I don't deserve. He already forgave him at that moment. Oh, even before. And I said, no, I don't deserve. Just give me no, I want to give you the best robe. I want to give you the best shoes. I want to give you the best food. I want to give you the best. If you forgive someone like God forgave you, you want to give the best to that person. I forgive you, but don't talk to me anymore, okay? So no, that's not the kind of God's forgiveness. When we forgive, like Jesus forgave us, done. Done. It's once for all. Forever. Amen? Is that good? Yes. Amen? Yes. Did you receive?
Yes.
Even after 12?
Yes.
Amen. So Lord, you can stand up, please. Let's just pray and bless our day. You are very welcome to come tonight, and 5:30 for the prayer, 6:30 for the meeting. Hallelujah. Thank God. We love the way you love, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe God will keep touching your heart and speaking to you and ministry to you, for you to be able to love people, to love the others the way He loved us. This is the way it's going to work for you. It's going to work for us. It's going to work for the Word of Life Church. It should work for the Church of Christ. This is so important. If you think, oh, this 6-7 points you mentioned, Pastor, I know that, though. If you can go back on those points and read more scriptures and meditate on that. So love the others is one of the most important things God is telling us to do. Love the others. Love the others. Because if you don't know the word very well, if you don't know all the scriptures, but you love someone the way Jesus loved, you will make the whole difference in somebody else's life. I tell for those people, say, it's a feeling. It's a feeling in their hearts. But when we express the love of God, it's an action. And when you leave this place, you say, how can I put this word into practice to change my life? It changed somebody else's life. I want to change somebody else's life. And love is the only thing that can change someone else. We pray. Prayer is important. The confession of the word is important. Yes, it is. It's a package. But if there's no love, there's no way. And love is a fruit of the Spirit. Manifest the love of God. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.